Well, we'll get us started here. We got a lot to do, but we'll go as far as we can. This Revelation 6, we kind of broke into it last Thursday, and I just read through it. Now I'm going to take our time. We're going to go through this, see what we can get from the scripture here and from the rest of the study to help us understand what's happening, exactly what's going on, best we can tell from our study of scripture. How many has this been helping anybody understand the Bible a little bit more? Has it been helping everybody? Listen, the Bible has not been written to confuse us. It's not written to confuse us. It's a book that is challenging. It's a book that'll make you think. But it's written, if we're challenged, we're willing to take the challenge and willing to think and to spend the time necessary. It's not hidden from us. It's all there. But it's really going to take some investigating and looking through the scripture. There's some things you can overthink in the Bible. I think what happens a lot of times is folks want to be smarter than what the Word is. And so what folks will do is read into scripture what they think it should say. And I think that'll get you in trouble. So anytime we have anything that's been tampered with or fooled with throughout history, it's been by our scholars, Bible scholars. So I think we have to be careful. We have to just humble ourselves to the Word of God. Just let it say what it says. That's my goal. My goal is to read the Scripture and just leave the Scripture say what they say. And if there's adjustments that have to be made, let's make them to our lives, not to the Scripture. And so I'm been challenged here this last year and a half when we started taking on this task to go back through the scripture. It's been a real challenge, but it's been something that's really been opening my eyes to see the principles that God sets forth for us. So we want to take a good look at tonight's part. I believe it'll be a benefit to us, a blessing to us. And so we're going to take a good look at this. So let's look at it again. I'll read the text, and then we'll come back and start with at the beginning verse again. In Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 1. Then I saw when the... Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. Had a bow. How many understand when he says a bow, he's talking about an archer's bow. And a crown was given him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Conquering and to conquer. And when he broke the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, come. And I know some of your translations will say, come and see. Does anybody have one of those that says, come and see? That'd be a King James. It would be sometime the AV will have that also, come and see. And we dealt with that last week. Everybody's clear on that. The original text doesn't have come. It doesn't have and see in it. It just has come. So the writer, when he's translating it from the original text, the Greek to the English, for whatever reason, he felt necessary to put come and see. He added and see in there. Well, it'll bring a different meaning to the text if we leave and see in there. And that's just one of the many places throughout Scripture that we have to look at and as we investigate the Scripture and study it. And so I want to make mention of that again for some of you that wasn't here last Thursday. And see is not in the original text. He says come. And we looked at it, and for all understanding that I have in it, he's not speaking to John. John's already there. He's not telling John to come. John's there. He's saying to the horseman, come. Come. So the horseman leaves from its position of being behind the seal. And then, again, we looked at these as not literal horses coming out of heaven. They're not literal. But it's a picture. Remember, Revelation is wrote in pictures so it can tell a story. To who? The one who's seeing it. Who's seeing it at this point? John's seeing it. John's witnessing this. So, but it's actually telling us a story when we read it. It's something that's happening. It's something that's happened. Now, the horsemen, the horses and the horsemen, are they gonna, what's going to really actually happen, it's going to be performed by men throughout history. And we'll see that. We're going to look at some historical facts about this. So just to point that out to you, the second when he broke it, the second seal, I heard him, the living creature, saying, come. And again, it was the second living creature. And we dealt with the living creatures. How many are there that we looked at? There were four living creatures before the throne. There were 24 elders. Remember that? 24 thrones. They had white on with crowns. We dealt with all those things. And the seven spirits of God. And there was some again, just keep those things in mind as we go through these studies. Keep in mind the past studies because it helps you understand it. It's an ongoing thing. And another, a red horse went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. A great sword. We'll come back to that. The third seal. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. Scales. So that's a balancing scales, the original weighing method. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. I'm going to talk about that. I think that's significant today. The fourth seal. And when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, come. And I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. And when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and revenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told, that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. I looked, and when he had broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig casting its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the cave and among the rocks in the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand. And so we have some incredible verses here to look at. Now I want to talk about these one at a time. We'll look at this. So go back to Revelation 6, verse 1. We're talking about seven seals are opened by the Lamb between 6, 1 and 8, 1. Seven seals will be opened. I'm not going to deal with all of them tonight. I'm going to get as many as I can in on the sixth seal, up to the sixth seal if we can. We'll see. There's an interlude between the sixth and seventh in 7:1 through 17. So keep that in mind. That's kind of an outline right there. That's kind of the outline of how we'll look at it. So, seven seals are opened by the Lamb between chapter 6, verse 1, through chapter 8, verse 1, with an interlude between the 6th and 7th in chapter 7, verse 1 through 17. That's how we'll kind of, we'll take this as our outline to look at it and look at each one of these seals. The four horsemen show us the self-defeating character of sin. All God needs to do is to allow man to follow his natural instinct of self-exalting and conquest. Then sinners will inevitably be punished. So basically, in these seals, what we're seeing is God is saying the seals open, and he finds the one who's the one that's worthy. Remember, we dealt with that in 5. Who's only the Son, the only begotten, unique Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who has been positioned at the right hand of God, the Father. He's the only one worthy. But he in his worthiness, he looked like a what? A lamb slain, a slain lamb. Remember, we dealt with all these big, you know, Russia has a bear and we have the eagle and all that. Here's a slain lamb is the symbol of the almighty conquering King of Kings of God's kingdom. If you have a symbol for God's kingdom, it's a slain lamb. How incredible is that? But what you see in that picture, you see humility, yet authority. See, a lot of times we don't see the authority in humility, yet if you look at God's model, that's what God models. But man left alone, self-exalting. Is that not the truth? What's going on in the world today? Everybody's trying to conquer everybody. There's a conquering. One political party's over the other political party. One part of society is over the other part of society. Is that not true? That's what we see. It's constantly going on. You know, wonder why that is? That cannot be unless the seals are open. And there's folks today that doesn't believe any of the seals are open. Hopefully I can show you today how many are, and they're simultaneous. And let's look at it scripturally. We'll see what the Word of God says. We'll see how many we can look at. Revelation 6:2. Come. Is not addressed to John as the AV translation or the King James translation puts it. Come and see, rather it is to the horsemen. It is a call to action. A call to action. So in the original text, if you look it up, you can go online, go to a Greek manuscript. And see if in the Greek manuscript you'll see "and see" in the original text. It won't be there. So why do we put that? Again, does it make sense to put it? Yet it's been in our translations for so long. 1612, the King James Version Bible. I mean, was it 1611? I believe it was when it came out. That's a long time. Long time. But to be around. So we have to be careful with those things because it can help, it can really hinder our understanding of this, and we don't want that to happen. Okay? So in the second verse, it said, I looked and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. And a crown was given him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When that was released, what happened to the human race was that spirit of conquering and to conquer has been prevalent no matter what nation you go to. Is that not happening today? That's because that seal's open. So we see evidence of this seal. This seal. It's got a bow and a crown. So the bow would represent I'm going to conquer, and the crown represents I have what? I have conquered. So does that happen in our society? Let's just look at the sports industry. Let's look at the sports industry. Let's take football, for example. Football, it's a battle. And it's to see who's what? The best. And so you got one team trying to do what to the other team? Beat them, conquer them. What about in basketball? What about in baseball? Right? Because we want to have a World Series, a Super Bowl, and what's the base basketball? What is it? The championship? NBA champ? College would be the Final Four, and then whatever it is. Anyway, you understand my point. No matter what sport I name, there's going to be a final to it. You know, if we have a boxing match, we're going to have the undisputed champion of the world, right? And so it's all about conquering. If we have Ford versus Chevy, right? What they're going to do? Somebody's going to try to come out with another vehicle. A Toyota. It's all about having the best. It's about conquering somebody else. So that seal is open. What about political parties? Let's talk about political parties. Did that happen in there? Does anybody think it happens in political parties? Absolutely it happens. When we have a race for president, does anybody ever get the sense that one's trying to conquer the other? You ever watch debates? That seal's open. Is that really the behavior of how things are going to operate in God's kingdom? No. No, because they want, look, that seal is going to be over and done with. You won't have the spirit of conquering. Let me ask you this. What about in the church world? You understand my point? That seal is open. It has been open, and it still remains open. But, you know, all we got to do is slow down a little bit and say, you know what, let's not avoid revelations. Let's go and dive deep in and take some time now. It takes a lot of time. Before I mention in this part that I'm mentioning to you, it takes a lot of time to look at it and really make sure, is this it? Is that what he's saying? Best I can tell, when he's talking about the bow and the crown, he's talking about the one that's going to go out and conquer and to be conquered. We see that prevalent all around our society today. It's all around. So let's conclude that that first seal is open and has been open. Now look at Job. Job chapter 39. We covered a little bit of this. Horses are fearless. So we ask why a horse? So white horse equals victory. The white horse equals victory. Victory. So what is it? What happens when the end of the time period that's been awarded and the team with the most points, if it's the Super Bowl, what do they have? They're the victor. At the end of the time period, if there's whatever, if it's a fighting match, whatever it may be, whoever's still standing who has most points, they're the victor. It's all about conquering. And you got to be careful, because that same attitude will get between even family members. Even men, husbands and wives, is all about conquering each other. It'll creep into the church. It's about conquering. It's about position. It's about prestige. It's about being better than my neighbor, having more than my neighbor. Anybody see this besides me going on in the world today? Happens all the time. So that seal is open. It's a lot of, and let me tell you, it's at the cost. Remember, to conquer, it's at the cost of someone else. You understand? If you conquered, meaning you had to push down or step over someone else to be up, you conquered that. You conquered them. And that's what happens. We see it all the time. And you think people's into it? Do you think people's really into this first seal? That they love it? That they're willing to conquer? You ever seen real, true sports fans? They will go absolutely crazy over a game. I mean, just absolutely crazy. Do you know that there's been murders committed over one team losing to the other. Literal murders, because this appetite to conquer was lost and they couldn't take it, so they would take the person's life. And so who was the ultimate conqueror? The one who committed the murder. I got you now. You see, appetite to conquer. My team lost, but I beat you. How many fights? I'm just talking about, because we see all this around us every day and we just think, oh, it's just sports. I've been thinking about this for a long time leading up to this tonight. And I can tell you, I see it all over the place. I was thinking about it today. I just took some time just to quiet down. And the Lord reminded me, he said, you know what? He said, I see that's what's going on. He said, I want you to see this. That's exactly what's happening in the church world today. Our Bible colleges are set up so they can send out the best trained pastors who they can say they come from this school. And so they got a large church. And their church is so large and growing, it's all about conquering. And that's not the attitude of God. Do you understand that? If Jesus wanted to show that attitude, you think he could have? We have no idea what he could have done. But he humbled himself, was obedient to the cross, made of himself no reputation, took on the form of a servant. Did that mean anything to anybody? When I thought about that today, I said, God, you know, we talking about following Christ. That's what I want. I want to repent and say, God, I don't want to be a guy that has to conquer. I don't want to be the guy that has to always be doing this or that. What about humbling ourselves? What about saying, Lord, I want to follow the path that Christ took. And that's what it's going to take. But that seal is open. It's been open. And a lot, we see it in our society today, and we see it in our society in the past. We see it all the time happening. And so victory was the white horse. The red horse, I'll read them all, and of course we're going to go back and go at them slow, but the red horse is anger and danger, removing peace. Removing peace. The black horse, depression, morbidity, caused by famine. Caused by famine. And pale horse is death. The four horsemen taken together indicate destruction, horror, and terror. And so just keep these things in mind. And again, all these will be on the, you put these on the web, on a Facebook or something, in Nolan, these slides. So if you don't get them tonight, they'll be there. You can go back and look at them. The victorious warrior rides on a white horse. Right? If you're victorious warrior, what you riding on? The white horse. Here it comes. It's the man. He the man. The crown is Greek, Stephanos. It could be translated wreath. Wreath. It is an adornment worn around the head and given as an award. So the wreath or the crown is put on your head as an award. In the Olympics, we give them what? In the Olympics, what do we give them? If they're the best, what do they get? A gold medal. A gold medal. And so, amongst their peers, those who were competing in the same event as them, the guy standing on the top of the podium with the gold medal around his neck, we would know that he was better than all of those standing around him. He conquered them in that event. So the crown represents that. He said the white horse is going to go out and is going to have a bow and a crown. So does this make sense to you? How many can see that this seal is happening all around the world? It's all about conquering. It's all about being better than the next guy. We see it constantly, constantly happening. And we constantly teach. And listen, it's nothing wrong with wanting to be good. Nothing wrong at all. But be careful that we're not trying to conquer our fellow man. Be careful in that. Because that's not the behavior of Christ. Christ never behaved that way. Let's look at Matthew 27. I'll look at a few verses. We can't cover all these. These, again, these will be on the... available for you to look at. but I'll cover just a few of these verses because I can't go to all of them, and I didn't want to make slides for all of these, but we can read a few of these. Matthew 27. Look at, we'll start at verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into Praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohorts around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a wreath in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." See that? That's the same word. That would be considered wreath or crown. But in this case, in Jesus' case, did he self-proclaim that? Did he say, "I want the golden crown"? No, what they was doing was say, "Okay, if you're the man, we're going to make you the man." They mocked him. They mocked him. They twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and then mocked him and bent down and bowed before him and says, you're the conqueror. But they was doing it in a mocking way because there he was beat and there, he was in chains. He couldn't go nowhere. They put the whole cohorts around him, and they were just making fun of him. But what the think about the what they was doing was they was mocking him, but really they were saying, "We are conquering you. We're taking advantage of you. We're doing this stuff to you." So here's a lot of verses here. Obviously, we can't read all of these verses, so I just wanted to point out some of them. You go through these scriptures, you'll see these. Men carry out the deeds of the spiritual horsemen. Men, so the white horse is out. It's the bow and the crown, and it's to conquer and to be conquered. Men are carrying that out. And that's going to be true to all of these seals that we see, that we'll look at tonight. Especially, we try to see if we get through five of them. So men are carrying out those. They're spiritual. In the picture they're pointing, not literal. Not literal horses coming out of heaven. They're just that time frame, it's been held, and all of a sudden, he releases. At the onset, it seemed like everything was going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, your partners, whatever it was, your investors, all of a sudden they say, and before you know it, there's no peace. See, that's the enemy's job. Anytime people get in relationships, you find that. You have to have the because there's no peace. It's not okay, we're going to get that peace. It's not only in God you find that real peace. And so we see that. So there's all this controversy. But notice a sword was given. He said a rider was given a large sword, and he's not said to have killed anyone. He just says he had a large sword. But there's been the seals opened. He has the large sword. It doesn't say he kills. But the sword represents that there's a, because of no peace, people have an appetite to kill one another. And I'm not talking about just in war. How many here realize that there's a lot of just murders committed for no reason, it seems like. Just crazy stuff. Because there's no peace. That person, if you sat with them, they got so many things going on. They're trying to find something in everything. So a lot of people turn to all kinds of things to see if they can settle down on the inside. You can't settle down when the seal's been open. Do you understand that? That seal's been open for a long time now. There's no peace. And the sword's been given and for people to do hurt to one another. So while the rider was given the Lord's sword, he's not said to have killed anyone. He removes peace and men proceed to do all the damage. That's been happening for a long time. And it's valuable that we understand that. So I want you to keep that in mind, because I'm going to show you some things in a little while. I'm going to show you a couple of videos. You'll see how all these will come together. So the first seal's open, has been open, still remains open. Second seal's open, has been open, and still remains open. The peace that there's only peace when a person comes to Christ. Then they understand. He said, the peace that I give, no man shall take from thee. But there's a world seeking for peace, but there's no peace because the seal's been opened. So they seek for peace in a lot of things only to wind up at a dead end. It's not no peace at all. And if they think it's sometime it's in this or it's in that, and they go 100% with that, and in the end they're let down. So how many can understand that that seal's open? Now, look at the fifth verse. And he who broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. The black horse symbolizes famine. Famine. Ezekiel 4, verse 9. Look at Ezekiel 4, verse 9. But as for you, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, spelt, put them in one vessel and make them into bread for yourselves. You shall eat it according to the number of the days that you lie on your side, 390 days. In verse 10, your food which you eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight, and you shall eat it from time to time. How many see that? Because why was he telling them that? Why? What was going on? There was a famine. How many know that there's a famine in the world today? You ever wondered about this? You ever wondered about, as smart as we are, and as smart as the technology that we have, how is it that there's any one person who's starving in the world? Should not be, right? You know why there is? That seal's open. Ain't a thing the human race is going to be able to do about it, because you can't self-fix it when the seal's open. You don't think people has tried to fix the hunger problem in the world? That's been tried and tried and tried. But inevitably, what's going to happen when you try it? There's going to be another person try it, and they're going to try to do what to the first person who started? Conquer! So what happens? It all comes falling down because the seal's open, and that's what God knew it. That seal's open, and what does Jesus say? Come! And that horseman was released. It's been open. And so we got enough stuff to feed everybody, plenty. The amount of food, unspoiled food in America that is tossed into the garbage can feed the hunger of the world. You know why we don't give it? Conquer. We want to conquer. We got enough money that we can produce more food than every person on this planet can eat for their lifetime. You know why we're not doing it? Conquer. We want to conquer. There's no peace. You're out to get me. Do you really love me? You see? That seal's open. It's been open. Famine. So the black horse has this scale. Verse 6, it says, and I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, now listen to this. This is very important. Very important. I'm about to show you something here that I didn't see. I didn't see this for all the years that I've studied the scripture. I didn't see this. But I was so excited because the Lord revealed this to me and let me see it and revealed this to other people. I've heard this said, and I didn't listen. But I began to listen, and I said, wow, this is a value. Very important. And I heard something like the voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. The measurement indicates great lack. Great lack. Remember the measurement? Why would he measure in Ezekiel? Why was he measuring? He said, you got to be careful. You eat this amount, you eat this amount, and as a per day. Remember that in Ezekiel? Why? If you got everything you want, do you have to measure? No. But he said, you got to measure. In Joseph's time, when they had the famine, did they measure? Absolutely. So what does the scale indicate? We're going to have to measure. And he says, so in verse 6, he's telling them, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not damage the oil and the wine. So listen to this. A denarius is equivalent to a day's wage. A day's wage. Barley is low-grade substance for a family on one day. So the work, they're going to work a lot all day, but in the end, they're only going to have enough to buy enough food for what? The week? The month? No, one day. Things are hard. Things are tough. You see, I don't know if you've ever met people like that, but I have. I've met people that they work all day long. They got enough food to buy for that one day. That's it. They don't have groceries. They have a grocery store. They got enough food for that day. They eat that food, and that's all they got, and they work the next day. That's called a famine. Things are tough. There's no store. There's nothing in storage. The oil and the wine, some think, may mean the necessities of life for the poor will be in short supply while the luxuries of the rich will not cease. Anybody seeing that? Anybody seeing that? You ever heard the statement, it seems like the poor gets poorer and the rich get richer? That seal's open. That's why it appears that way. The seal's open. Do you understand that? I sit down sometime and I think about the money that's made in the sports industry. The money made in Hollywood. Serious money. I'm talking about when you can spend $50,000, $60,000 a night to stay in a hotel. Some of you got to work all year long for that. A year you work for that. They spend that a night just to sleep in another place that is not theirs. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, don't hurt the oil and the wine. And we were saying, oh, God, there's some one of these days that thing got to come crashing down. No, the seal's been open. That ought to make you excited. There's going to be a shortage on one hand. The poor is going to seem like they're getting poorer, and the rich is going to seem like they're getting richer, and we might as well get over it. That seal's open. That's just the way it is. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. But we ought not be disappointed in that. That ought to be exciting that we see in the scripture for being fulfilled. What is seen is famine that is not yet a disaster. Things are difficult, but the end is not yet. That's what we're seeing. Have we been seeing that for a long time? Absolutely. There's countries that'll go through spells where it's getting really tough for them and then they'll have a little increase. But they don't ever get to the oil and wine stage. They have a little increase, but you know why? Because it's not a full disaster and it's because the end's not yet. What happens when the end comes? And then we're going to see a full disaster with everybody, including the oil and wine folks. Not yet. Have we seen that yet? Nope. That's because that seal's not open, and we're going to talk about that one later. But the one that's open, we're seeing it all the time. So it's very important. The first three seals are all things that have been and continue to be happening in the world. These three seem to have occurred simultaneously and repeatedly in history. They're occurring and reoccurring constantly. How many see that? So let's look at number 7. And when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard a voice, the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. And he, some of your translations will say pale. Anybody's got that one? It says a pale. An ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death. and Hades was following him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and with wild beasts of the earth. Now, when you read that, that one looks like, man, we don't know if that one's open yet. So maybe we have to look into it a little bit. Ashen is pale in the King James and connects with death. Hades is translated in the King James as hell, which is a bad translation. How many know why? Grave and pit. The Hebrew word Sheol and the Greek word Hades means the same thing. That's why. The common grave of humankind. So if we, and you can compare those to Psalm 16:10, Acts 2:31. But when it says that he's been the ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death and Hades. Death in the what? That would be death in the what? Death in the grave, not hell. How many know that if you put hell constantly in those translations, that can confuse people? And how many believe it has confused people? It has. So he's not death in hell, death in Hades. So Jesus conquered death and the grave. But the translation, he said death in hell. But he conquered death in the grave because they had no power on him. So this ashen horse, again, he's out, he's sent, and this fourth seal is about death. And he says he'll kill with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. How many see that? All right. Let's look at these videos here. And this has been going on for a long time. I've just mentioned the top 10. You see how many people have died in those wars? These seals are open. The plagues. That's not even mentioned in the stuff that's going on today. How many people do you think die of old age? Not a lot. Disease, heart disease, cancer, AIDS. I ain't even mentioned none of those. But see how many people's died? And when that black plague hit, it was estimated that that was 1/4 of the population. Think about it. So don't, you know, if we can't find, if we say this seal's open and we can't look back and find that this is evidence of it, then we can't say it's open. You understand what I'm saying? But if I can look back and find evidence that this seal's open, then I got to call it open. I don't know how you can't call it open. So I just wanted to show you what we're looking about. Over and over throughout history, major portions of the population have been eliminated with sword, famine, pestilence, wild beasts, and still are today. Would that be a true statement? Still going on. So first seal, second seal, third seal, we look at all of these. The fourth seal, open. They're simultaneously ongoing, still happening in our society. Is it enough to bring the society or the world to an end? Not yet. None of those seals mention that. Do they? None of them do, but there's a seal that's going to mention that. And so these are some of the things we're looking at just to help us get through this. So all over a fourth of the earth. Remember that in that part? Over a fourth of the earth. How many see that? A fourth of the earth. Over a fourth of the earth, the Greek word used for earth refers to the surface of the earth, not people, in that particular scripture, not people. 3/4 of the earth is covered by what? Water. And 1/4 by land. This means death has authority over all the land, and indeed it has since the seal was broken. How many people die from old age? Not very many. So does this seal have authority over the 1/4 of the earth? Right? And so it doesn't matter what time, year, event, or population account, does it have authority over 1/4 of the earth? Absolutely. It has authority. So how's people dying? They're dying by what I just gave you. The means of death. These people are dying from this famine, these pestilence. All of this stuff is happening. It's happening. It's the people that I know, you know, and people that live with these affected by diseases. It's because the seal has been opened. Does this make sense to everyone? The first four seals with the four horses is the beginning of sorrows. It's the beginning of sorrows. Our Lord Jesus spoke about it, recorded in the Gospels. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Let me see that. It's not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in various places. There will be a famine and earthquakes. Is this happening? This is what Jesus said would happen, but it's not the end. Is those things happening? But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. What are they? The first four? The beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Who's some of the most hated people on the planet today? Christians. Most hated people on the planet. Just showing you these things are happening. We ain't waiting for them to happen. They are happening. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many, because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. Is lawlessness increasing in the world? What about people's love? But the one who endures to the end will be saved. What do we got to do? Endure it. If it ain't going to be trouble you're going to go through, then he wouldn't use the word endure it. We're going to have to go through some struggles. We're going to have, our faith is going to be tested. What are we to do? Endure it. If you endure it, you'll be saved. That's a promise from Jesus. He's making that promise. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world as a test, or the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Let me see that. Look at chapter 13. Is it? Go to Luke 21. Let's look at that. We can't read them all, but we'll get some of them in. Luke 21. And he said, see to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famine. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you and deliver you to the synagogues and prison and bring you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your mind not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish, but by your endurance you will gain your lives. How many see that? So we look at Scripture and we find these things are happening. Okay? Now let's go back to Revelations and we're going to see if we can just wrap this up. So we got four seals. How many see that? There are four seals that have been opened. They're open, have been opened. Now let's look at verse 9. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and revenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? The fifth seal reminds us that the images that John sees are not all to be taken literally. Rather, we are to glean the truth that the images communicate. Horses do not literally ride out of heaven, nor did dead people talk. So we have to look at this seal. We have to see what is he talking about. And again, remember last week I talked about the near and far. What's near and what's far. We're not talking about chronological events. We're not saying, we're talking about things that we can't say that one happened, then there was a time period, and then another one happened, then there was a time period, then another happened, and there was a time period, then another happened. That's chronologically understanding it. I believe that when the seals open and they're happening, and there's no indication that it's controlled by time. And that means that it's going to be difficult, very difficult, impossible for man to try to sit down and figure out time when it comes to Revelation. And why does man want to do that? There's a reason. They want to do it because they want to conquer. They want to conquer. They want number one bestseller. So God, he don't indicate when he's going to do this, but there's breaks. Some things are near future and some things in the distance. In this fifth seal, he's seeing things again. Can we take everything that John saw literally happening? Not literal horses were coming out of heaven. And so we can't. And so when we read it, we say, well, the question comes up, well, what about the souls that he's seen? And then we say, because they were talking. But then we have to ask the question, can the dead talk? Well, we can answer that. We can answer if the dead can talk by going back through the Scripture and finding out if they do. What do we find in Scripture? Did we find that they don't talk? The dead don't speak. So is that literal, what he's saying? No, it's not literal. But that won't go over very well. The point is they will remain in the grave until the appointed time, and then they will be revenged. The resurrection's in chapter 20. And we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. Chapter 20. So Romans 12:19. Look at Romans 12. And I'm going to find a stop point here. Let's see. Well, we can. How many in Romans? Romans chapter 12. Verse 19, we're going to look at verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Christians should not pursue personal vengeances. Retribution is a divine prerogative. White robes or victory robes, the martyrs appear to have been defeated by their enemy, but actually they have been given the victory by God. Remember that. So it's a little different than conquering and to be conquered, right? But what are some of our attitudes that we have to work on today? We don't want to be the people who's hated by the world. We want to be revenged. Because we've been going to church. And we've been faithful. When God's going to revenge us? You ever had those thoughts? Besides me, I have them. Did that sound familiar? What John saw? So, if you think you want to be revenged, what do you think about the saints? What about those martyred? You think they want to be revenged? Absolutely. But you see, if God does it based on our voice, then it's conquering. But if he does it, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay, then he hands over, the white robe is handed over to you by God. God gives that to you. So who conquers for us? Who wins for us? What are we to do? Just endure. He didn't say win the race. He said stay in the race. Oh, there's a difference. Everybody who stays in the race in our world today, do they get a gold medal if they just stay in the race? No, the winner gets the gold medal. God says if you just stay in the race, forget trying to be the winner. We got one winner. His name is Jesus. He already won. Do you understand where this goes? We got a winner. He said to the rest of us, you just stay in the race. I done beat everybody up here. I beat them all. Satan stood up. I beat him. He conquered death and hell. Conquered it. And we have to get that understanding from the scripture. The grave couldn't hold him. Remember Sunday? Couldn't hold him because it had no power to hold him. He conquered it. So can the grave conquer the believer in Christ? Absolutely not. Can't conquer him. But it's not going to be till the resurrection. Did he have to wait for the resurrection? Yeah, Jesus had to wait. Do we have to wait? Yeah, we got to wait. And when it comes, it's going to be. So, that's one of those scriptures where people will say, well, you see here? What about the souls that he's seen under the altar? And they talked. Do we take that literal? When do we do and when don't we? And so we have to understand that. The only if we can go back in the scripture and see that. And we can't because we've been through the scripture before. So this is, listen, retribution is a divine prerogative. Remember that statement. Retribution is a divine prerogative. White robes or victory robes? Victory robes. How many ready for a white robe? But that's going to be given to us by the Savior. He's going to give it to us. And it's very important that we grab hold to that. So the martyrs appeared to be defeated, but they weren't. So we see these from time to time happening. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and revenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and there were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. So there is a time frame. Not sure, and don't get confused that there's a number that have to be here. There's a time frame only known by God, and he's going to put an end to that. So this leads us to the sixth seal. And I looked, when he broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. Let me ask you something. Is there martyrs? Because we got to deal with the fifth seal first. Is there martyrs? Have people died for the gospel? Have people died enduring to the end? That seal's been open. That seal's open. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 open. Now we're at the sixth seal. Can you see we're at the sixth seal? There's some serious stuff going on. The sixth seal is future. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Let's look at it. I looked and it broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black. And we had earthquakes, right? But we ain't had a great earthquake like this. Because the sun became black. Not only the sun, because we got to see all the stuff that happened. The sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree cast her unripe figs when they shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain, everybody listen to that, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the king of the earth, great men, the commanders and the rich, the strong, every slave, free man, hid themselves in caves among the rocks in the mountains. And they said to the mountains, and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So the sixth seal. Is the sixth seal open? No, because we don't see that. That's never happened. I think we'd remember that event. Don't you think? We'd remember that. When that event happens, the oil and the wine are going to get all messed up. He said the rich, the poor, the slave, the free, everybody is going to be brought to one spot, and they're going to be hiding in the caves. Never happened yet. So the sixth seal is not open. Can it open any time now? It absolutely can. It absolutely can. It's going to be a catastrophic event. I don't see anywhere in Scripture that the church is going to be somewhere else when this happens. I don't see it. Maybe you can find it. Point it out to me. I don't see that we're going to be somewhere else when this seal is open. Because then we got the sixth seal, which I think... What happens, the first five seals have happened or are in process of happening. The sixth seal projects ahead to what will happen immediately before Jesus returns. Immediately before he returns. The way Yahweh deals with Egypt as a type for what will happen in the end, the plagues, are progressive as with the beginning of sorrows, as in the great tribulation. What I'll do is I'll start here next week. Well, not next week, because we got an event, I think, don't we? Yeah. Next following week. We'll be here, but won't be teaching. So we'll stop right there, okay? Is this helpful to anybody? Is this helpful to you to kind of get, listen, I know a lot of people who go to church or whatever and they been in and around church for a long time, and folks think, maybe, you know, it's been around so long, this is not, we don't know what's real or not real. I'm telling you, trust what I'm telling you. This is a real event. We see proof in the scripture of the first five seals. How in the world does anybody with their right mind think that, okay, the rest ain't going to happen? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Just like the first five have, it's happened and happening. They don't, remember, seals are not open. They come to burn themselves out. They don't burn themselves out. There's going to be a catastrophic event that's going to bring things to kind of one head when the sixth seal. But then we have the seventh seal. When we're going to look at that, that starts the trumpets. And these things are going to be running and things are going to speed up fast. And I'll show you how fast the trumpets are going to go. Fast. And so we're trying to, people say, well, when this, all that stuff's going to happen, when it starts happening and it's going fast, it'll blow, it's going to seem like forever because it ain't going to be fun. So we spend our lifetime, you know, trying to do whatever we do, conquer and make it, you know, be the best or whatever. But I can tell you, it's foolish for a man not to consider what the scripture says is going to happen on this planet that's been given and built for man by God to live on. And it's not just for us to live here, but one day he's coming and take the whole thing over. And he ain't coming to take it over with people who think they can conquer God. People think that right now, but that ain't going to be how it's always going to be. And so hopefully that you'll see this. But what, I'm going to talk about the way Yahweh, God, deals with the Egyptians, stands as a type of what will happen. And we'll look at those plagues. There are 10 plagues. 10 plagues we'll look at in dealing with this particular subject. And you'll see these plagues, how they happen. And they overlapped each other, and it was just crazy, the stuff happened. Then there was a final plague. He was just warming them up. He said, you think that's something? Let me tell you, we kind of lose sight of, you watch this little video of the top 10 deadliest plagues. That's a lot of people died. This is the Black Plague alone. Think about that. And this is estimates, even in the wars, this was the lowest. Lowest, you notice that? Lowest estimates. Some believe they were way more than that. There was so many people dying, they couldn't even count them. They just had to estimate them in wars. But see, we hadn't had one so soon from us, we kind of lose sight of that. But this was all going on after these seals are open. And if you think about all the murders that are committed, think about all of that that's happened, the plots against different nations, there's embargoes, there's trade agreement, there's all just to stop people, and they know them people are going to die if they don't get that trade. What do you call that? That's just political jargons that it's a way that they cause people to die. And we have the funds, we have the food, but we won't feed them, we'll let them see them die because of the trade agreements. So you see how crazy this stuff is? And it's happening. It's all about. But let me tell you, what we'll do, we'll spend every dollar we can to protect the oil field. As long as we can protect, because we know if we got oil, we can do what? Conquer. We could be the man. Whoever can guarantee the countries of all the worlds that they'll have, you know, fuel. Got to have fuel. How are we going to have? We can't be strong without fuel. So we store up fuel and we want to protect those. So if we got a nation who's starving to death, but they got no resource, we ain't helping them. We okay with them dying. We don't need all the people. We need most of the people, but not all of them. But we got a country who don't have nobody dying and they get in a dispute, but they got plenty of oil. Where are we going? Spend every dollar we got to help them. You know why? Conquer! We want to conquer. So what's happening? It's happening all over. And it's happening in every industry, every field you can imagine. This is exactly what it is. Everybody's trying to get it over on everybody. Anybody see this in the news media? The conquering type attitude? One news media over the next guy. So they blow their story up, you know, throw a little few things in there that exaggerates the whole thing to be over the next guy. Anybody, so you can relate to these things. So these seals are open. Five seals. Open and are open and still happening. I don't see any decline in any of those stuff that I said. And they have mortars. And I can tell you, dead people don't talk. Don't talk. So it's not literal, but he's seeing that there is, that when they died, prior to their death, their desire was for God to revenge what's been going on. Because we know that. Because we have that desire. All this stuff. We faithful to you, God. And just, when God's going to come, huh? What? And you know how you get that feeling, how good it's going to be? When you feel like the big bad wolf finally meets his match? You know how good that feels? You're watching a movie and the guy that's been beating up on everybody the whole movie, all of a sudden somebody shows up who takes him down. Boy, you rent that movie again, you know, because you want to see that dude. Ain't no sense in him beating up on kids. You see, you got, and that's the appetite of the church. We want to see all the lies and the distractions from the enemy, everything he's ever done. One of these days, the man's going to show up, and he's going to take care of that. So that is a cry. When, Lord? When? When is it going to happen? When? And he said, just hold up. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I'm going to take care of it. You can count on it. So there is a cry, but dead people ain't crying. But that was their cry. And it is our cry. And it's going to happen. How many believe that? Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you coming every Thursday. My prayer is that this is helpful to you. We're learning and growing together. And we just want to continue in the Word of God. So as we go through this, I told you, we're getting, you know, it's like getting in the kayak. You're paddling in the little canal. And all of a sudden you paddle out into the Gulf of Mexico with a 25-mile-an-hour wind blowing, and you go, now this is different. That's what's going to happen as we get deep into Revelations. We're about to get into some serious, serious waters. We've been in the calm for a while. We're about to get in the rough, and we want to look at it and see what it's telling us, okay? Well, God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next week.